Our New Testament lesson is from the letter to Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, and it can be found on page 1819 in your pew Bible. Therefore, remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who called themselves their circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the commands and regulations. His purpose, I had one humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The word of God for the people of God. So obviously, the events of this week have made me weary. And I don't know, I'm sure you all have felt that weariness in your hearts. So today I want to continue to talk about those things that bind us together, because this last week has made us feel far apart, struggling to find ways that we can come together amidst so much destruction and violence. So today I want to spend a little bit of time talking about what binds us together as Presbyterians. How in this church we are united through this denomination. Now, growing up, I never questioned the word Presbyterian. I grew up and went to church always as a Presbyterian, and going to it my whole life, I heard the word 100 times, over hundreds and hundreds of times, and yet it wasn't until seminary that I actually learned what the word meant. As a kid, it was this mysterious and funny sounding name that defined our church. No different than Lutheran or Episcopal or Baptist or Methodist or Quaker. I knew there were differences between the denominations, but how the word Presbyterian factored in was beyond my 13-year-old comprehension. And I will be the first to admit it is a 10-cent word, all right? Let's just own it, okay? It's a 10-cent word that feels a little pretentious at times, right? Like telling the world you need to do your homework before you know what this church is all about, right? And there was this well-known book published a couple decades ago, and they've re-upped it several times, entitled How to Spell Presbyterian. Right? Acknowledging how inaccessible the term is for most people, even lifelong Presbyterians. And I've always been secretly jealous of other denominations that had easier names, easier to pronounce names. Disciples of Christ. Oh, that's nice. DOC, Disciples of Christ. Yeah, that's me. Or United Church of Christ. Just comes right off the tongue so nicely. Presbyterian. Oh my gosh. Man, there's a lot going on in that word, right? Yet as difficult as this name may be to pronounce and to explain, Presbyterian defines us as a church, and it also helps hold us together as a people of faith. I have, now that I know what the word means, and I've served many churches, I have come to learn to love this name. And I've owned it as a true expression for the particular way we have chosen to live out our faith. It doesn't mean it's better than any other Christian denomination. It's just what, how we have come to experience the way we serve the Lord. And I suspect many of you here also love this tradition, even though you may not understand what being a the word Presbyterian at all. You may know what it, you may think you know what it means in the sense that I know coming to the Presbyterian Church there's differences, but you may not know what that word means. So let's get our bearings. The word Presbyterian comes out of the ancient Greek word presbyteros. Everybody say that with me. Presbyteros. This is a biblical word found in Acts 14, Titus 1, meaning elder, or more literally, old man. Which is always interesting because a lot of the Presbyterian churches I go to, lots of old hair out there, old man, gray, right? But in the context of Scripture, it refers to a group of people who were designated as leaders of a particular church, elders. Paul, before leaving a congregation, would appoint elders, whom he commissioned and empowered to continue his work in that place. They were the spiritual leaders of that church and decision makers, who were responsible for teaching, worship, governing, and performing the sacraments. So Presbyterian, derived from this Greek term, specifically speaks to how we as a church organize ourselves. After all, we are a people of order, right? And as Presbyterians, we elect elders. Two kinds of elders, in fact. One, we have ruling elders who make up our session, made up of all of you here. Many of you have been elders in this church who may come together once a month to make decisions about the governance of this church, make sure the things that happen, that we need to make decisions. Ray Jean will tell you, we need them to make the decisions for the life of this church. And then there's the second kind of elder, and that's the teaching elder. And you all have hired me to be your teaching elder, responsible for the sacraments and leading worship and the day-to-day operation of the church. So we organize ourselves. That's what Presbyterian means. We organize ourselves around elders. So really, it's just about how we come together, right, as people. Now, we are a representative form of government. We elect elders. We elect pastors. And in fact, there are some Presbyterian diehards who argue that the founding fathers were so inspired by the Presbyterians that they formed the United States government based on the Presbyterian Church. Don't believe them. It's not necessarily true. But it's a fun thing to say to all your friends out there who are talking about the founding fathers. We are a people looking to form a committee, right? Y'all know that. The The constant joke I hear that is, if you want something done in 5 years, take it to the Presbyterians. We are infamously slow in our decision making. Many of you in here know that. And maybe several of you know that it's been a source of frustration for you that things don't get done as quickly as they can. And yet it has a purpose. As Presbyterians, we believe that the will of God is best discerned through a group of people rather than the individual. That together, the voice of God is clearer than when we are alone. This is why I only have one vote on the session equal to all the elders. My voice is no more important than the people who are around that table. Our church government values the give and take of different opinions at the table and multiple viewpoints when making important decisions for the life of this congregation. It may be slow, but its slowness allows for time of discernment, prayer, conversation. So as Presbyterians, we are bound together by this form of government derived from our name. And this government reminds us that none of us are solo artists. If we're going to live the faith that Christ has called us to, we must do it together. Listening together, studying together, praying together, in order to discover God's will for our lives. This foundation of faith extends beyond the walls of this church. We are a part of a wider network of Presbyterian churches throughout Ohio and then throughout the United States, united with them in name, tradition, and struggle. And this network is appropriately named, you guessed it, the Presbytery, right? And the Presbytery is made up of elected representatives from every Presbyterian church in its geographical bounds. And we have folks that go from our church to every Presbytery meeting. And every 4 months, we gather together to reconnect, share stories, worship, vote on business. And this Presbytery serves as a reminder that we are not all by ourselves. That we have an entire network of Presbyterian brothers and sisters who possess wisdom that we can draw from. Failures and successes that we can aid us in our ministry. And in this way, the Presbytery is not only our safety net, but more importantly, the shoulders that we stand on. I could not be the pastor that I am. And we could not be the church that we are without the Presbytery. Too often, I think, and this church has experienced it, the Presbytery is this outside force, this other group of people who come in and tell you, oh, you got to do this, or you got to do this. But when you actually look at it and realize the Presbytery is us. People who are connected by name and tradition and struggle. People who are going through very similar things that we're going through. United together to support, to love, to care, to share, to pray. When the Presbytery is at its best, we feel that connection whenever we are together. I am able to pick up the phone. Ray Jean knows this. I'm able to pick up the phone and call people in this Presbytery who are able to give us knowledge, information, to help us do what we do each and every day. That is what the Presbytery is. It isn't this outside force. It's a group of people who share the love of Christ with us. It's a relationship. So every year, we get up and we talk about this thing called per capita. Oh my gosh, per capita. What is it, a tax, Gray? Is the Presbytery taxing us now? Man, the U.S. government really did take that from us. It's not a tax. It's money that we send to the presbytery, not only to make meetings and committees and staff, but education events possible, to build each other up, to teach us, to make me a better pastor, to help our elders, to help us do what we do. So by paying our per capita, we're making our commitment to stay connected, to give our support to other fellow Presbyterians. So I encourage you, if you have not made that commitment, do so for 2016. So finally, being Presbyterian affirms our commitment and working together to do God's will. Our church government holds us together as a denomination despite our differences. So next time somebody comes up to you and they say, you're a member of the Presbyterian Church, right? You go, yeah. What does Presbyterian mean? You can say to them, it means that we elect elders to run the church, right? But then you say, that's literally what it means. It actually means that we realize that only together can we serve the Lord. Only together in relationship with one another can we truly walk the life of faith that Jesus taught us to walk. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.